It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, glad you could be here. The results of a statewide survey published in recent days by the State Department of Public Instruction, they indicate Wisconsin children are experiencing significant mental health challenges. 4 out of 5 student respondents who identify as lesbian, gay, or bisexual say they have anxiety challenges. We examine efforts to improve the well-being of Wisconsin kids with the State Office of Children's Mental Health. Join in by calling with your questions about anxiety, depression, other struggles that kids are working through, 800-642-1234. Linda Hall is director of the State Office of Children's Mental Health. Linda, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Good morning. It's really a pleasure to be with you. I wish the circumstances could be a little bit better in terms of children's mental health, but such an important issue to talk about.
Such an important issue. What was your reaction to this risk behavior survey when you pored over the numbers?
Well, unfortunately, the data was not very new to us. The conditions of anxiety and depression for our youth has been evident to us for some time. It was exacerbated by the pandemic, but the trend for increasing anxiety and depression, lack of belonging at school, suicide increases, those have been on the rise for a decade.
Because the results estimate more than half of students are experiencing problems with anxiety. It can't be just the pandemic effects. What is causing this pervasive anxiety?
Well, this is really a multifaceted problem. We know that a major portion of it is the stress that families are under, economic and other kinds of housing stress, the ability to pay, you know, the basic needs that their families have. That stress gets passed on to kids. We do know that kids are very anxious about their requirements at school. They feel a lot of pressure to do really well in school, to be able to get into a college, to get the financial support that they need to go to college. So those are factors. Then we know that we have a shortage of mental health professionals, so that when kids do have symptoms and their symptoms are recognized, whether that's at school or by their parents, there's the access to mental health treatment is not what it needs to be. So there's just a lot of factors turning into this. And of course, I'm sure what's on the minds of many people is whether social media makes a difference. And we do believe that it does make a difference, that some social media is okay, but if you're on it too much, it's going to affect your mental well-being. And there's information out there that did not help kids feel better about themselves. So we really look at this, the number one thing for us to do is to help kids understand their mental health, have the access to services, and for all of us to work on connecting them and supporting them and helping them feel like they belong.
Linda Hall is here, directs the Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health. As we look at the youth mental health crisis in Wisconsin and some new numbers, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Linda, why are state health authorities having either trouble or having difficulty making inroads in lowering anxiety among children?
Well, it is these factors in terms of the stress that they feel mm-hmm. at school, the stress that their families are under that affects them. We know, especially during the pandemic, that was a problem for kids. We know that the pandemic disrupted kids' connections with other kids, and those peer connections are really important. They start being important in preschool, and they continue to grow in importance until when you get to high school. We were looking at figures recently, national figures, that show that quality peer relationships for teens are the most important predictor of how they're going to be mentally well as adults. And so those connections that were disrupted during the pandemic have aggravated everything. I think that we know that at schools, educators, everybody in the school is recognizing that kids are coming with a lot of stress that's not being taken care of other places, and they are trying to address that. But the situation is dire. It's extreme, and our schools don't have enough resources to be able to do everything that they could to address it.
I was struck. I'm going to just jump in here. I mean, something that jumped off the page for me was, 80% of student respondents who identify as lesbian, gay, or bisexual having anxiety challenges. It also brings up whether, the issues that we have seen, the courtroom issues about LGBTQ lawsuits over gender identity policies and, the debate over calling students their preferred pronouns and the clash around sex education. How do these political debates manifest in your mind? How do they manifest in mental health of youth?
Well, you're right to bring that up. This is a very big problem when we look at the figures for kids in general are concerning, but when you break it down and look at what's happening to LGBT and questioning youth, their anxiety and their depression and their suicide thoughts are off the charts, just huge. And we know that these debates that are going on with adults around these issues, and that the ways that they play out in some schools aggravate the system, the mental health of these kids.
Governor Evers directing federal funding to provide $30 million for an initiative that provides school-based mental health services in K-12 schools. Is Wisconsin now providing enough access to mental health services with the funds that are being put toward this issue?
The funds that the governor has been able to direct to mental health in the schools is extremely important. Schools are picking up on that. They're doing everything that they can. They're increasing training for teachers and school staff, which is what we hear from youth is the most important thing. They want people at school to be able to talk with them about mental health and be able to have conversations and support them. That is important. Their funds are being used to help kids get to mental health treatment when it's necessary. They're all very important. It's just that the demand is so huge that we have not yet fully resourced schools to address everything that needs to be addressed.
But also to bring up that $30 million, that's ARPA funds. That's one-time money. Is that an issue for future needs in the area of youth mental health care?
Yes, you're correct. The schools tell us that what is really needed is ongoing sustainable funding for mental health. And that's something that we have been talking about. The Department of Public Instruction in its budget proposal for the 23-25 biennium has listed that as the number one thing that they would like to see accomplished for children's mental health, which is to create ongoing sustainable funding for mental health in schools. Because that ARPA funding is helping in terms of trainings and some short-term issues. It's not helping in terms of getting in place the staff that are there on an ongoing basis to help kids.
Linda Hall heads up the State Office of Children's Mental Health. Call in with your questions about the mental health landscape for children, your stories, your experiences. They're welcome as well. 800-642-1234. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We take a closer look at how Wisconsin teens are struggling with mental health, bullying, drugs, alcohol, and what policies and programs may deliver kids the support they need. Linda Hall directs the Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health. Be part of this conversation. Call in with your questions, comments, 800-642-1234. Nick is here from Madison. Hi, Nick. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Nick. I was calling because I was curious about your thoughts on grading in particular. So, like, obviously, you talked about earlier how academics impact the students' mental health. And a lot of schools have moved towards their competency or a mastery-based model in which, like, we kind of take away the competitiveness of grades and the I'm working towards a grade mentality versus I'm working towards the learning mentality. So it takes a little bit of competitiveness away for, like, you know, what did you get? Or, like, I'm going to have to show my parent this. What is your thoughts or recommendations on schools as far as reducing the level of impact on mental health from grading within school districts?
Nick, thank you. Linda?
Well, I am not an expert educator, so I hesitate to give too much of an opinion on this. But I do think that, you know, reducing competitiveness is something that can help kids see each other differently and see each other's strengths. One of the things that we think is really interesting is a program called Sources of Strength that brings a variety of kids in a school together to get them on a track of recognizing each other's strengths and then building on that. It helps in creating a better climate in the school, and it's also been proven to reduce suicide. So I think that things that allow cohesion and bringing people together, increasing belonging, those are all important to reducing anxiety and depression. So the grading probably would help in that regard.
And that program you said is called Sources of Strength.
Sources of Strength, and you can find it at sourcesofstrength.org.
Thank you. Let's bring in Jody in Fond du Lac. Jody, hi.
Hi there.
What would you like to bring up?
Well, I'm a teacher in a small rural school district, and I serve on the district's mental health team. And so we have school-based mental health services. In fact, we have three providers that come in to our school. But we still have a wait list. And I just know from hearing the frustration of parents that there's just not enough providers of mental health care services. And I'm curious as to what is being done in that profession to attract new providers or, you know, to retain, I guess, who they have. But, you know, if my little district can provide those services and has the funds to do it, I know it's possible. We just are frustrated that we don't have enough mental health care providers to meet the needs of even our little small district.
Jody, thank you so much for bringing that on-the-ground perspective. Linda, what are your thoughts?
Yes, Jody, that I'm glad to hear that you're providing what you can at schools. We actually have a lot of good energy going on in schools in terms of providing some mental health services, connecting kids to providers in the community. But as Jody says, we do not have enough mental health professionals. I think the number one problem is that we have to pay mental health professionals more for people to go into the field. There just are not enough people to address the demand in any part of the state. It's not just in small rural areas. There's just not enough. And, you know, only maybe less than half of kids who have an identified mental illness get access to treatment. And the average length of time between identification of symptoms and actual treatment can be as much as 11 years. So we have a huge problem in terms of the supply of mental health professionals. I think what we need is for people like Jody and other schools, we have to just increase what we were doing in schools, trying to get to kids and support them earlier on before their mental illness gets to a point that they need some professional help. I really see schools as our incubator for how we get through this crisis right now, because although there are people working at the state and national levels to increase the number of mental health professionals, it's not going to help fast enough for the kids who are being challenged right now. So I really, you know, appreciate the folks who are out there making things happen at their school. And I just want to bring up that we also need to listen to youth. They have really good ideas about what needs to happen at school to help them and to help them help their friends who need help. So there are those are the kinds of edges that we are working on while we are also working on how do we increase the number of professionals.
Talking with Linda Hall, Director of the State Office of Children's Mental Health, as we look at youth mental health, the latest numbers, 800-642-1234 to join in. I want to look at the budgetary aspect of this, because Governor Evers will propose a new two-year state budget next year. You know, very soon is next year, right? After, you know, receiving the spending requests from state agencies. Is the Office of Children's Mental Health advocating for changes in the budgetary structure to strengthen support for children?
Well, we're definitely going to be supporting the continued increasing of financial support to these activities that we need at school. And getting access to mental health in general. In terms of school, what we're looking at is that there needs to be sustainable funding, which we touched on earlier. We need funding to train staff and help them be more available to students to talk about this. We also need some insurance changes. You know, we've actually been able to increase the number of students on Badger Care or Medicaid who get access to treatment because we've increased the payment there and the ability for people to pay to access that payment. Right now, our bigger problem is that kids who have insurance, that their insurance won't pay for their treatment at school, which is where the majority of kids get access to treatment. So we need that, and we need insurance to pay for therapists in training, because they are really critical to providing services at school. So those are the kinds of issues that we're going to raise. And the other thing I would mention is increasing youth-led mental health initiatives at schools. Wisconsin, you know, here's a positive note. In Wisconsin, we have a really large and growing number of youth-led programs in schools that are helping kids talk about mental health and figure out where there are resources available to them. And so we want to keep working on that and listen to those youth and get more of their ideas about how we can most effectively address this crisis.
In terms of insurance coverage for mental health services, what impact would Medicaid expansion have on youth mental health?
That is another really important thing. It would, in particular, I believe, it would help with parents who do not have current access to mental health and to health services in general. And we know that many of the students who are identified with anxiety and depression have parents who are struggling with a mental health condition or an addiction. And so the fact that we don't do a good job of taking care of parents is part of the problem that we have. Our kids are struggling because their parents are struggling.
I'm going to zoom in a moment here to Milwaukee, where Children's Wisconsin Hospital opened the state's first walk-in behavioral health clinic to serve children. What do you make of that move?
That is a really important initiative that we are excited about. Children's has been getting into the mental health space in a big way. They have really been advocating for the integration of physical or pediatric support, healthcare and mental health care. And so they opened a walk-in clinic, and it's open from the afternoon and early evenings. Anyone can show up. If you think you have a mental health problem that you want help with, you can go. What we know is that the average age of kids being showing up at that clinic is about 12, and they are pretty equally boys and girls. 80% of them go home safely, so we're avoiding hospitalizations, which can also be traumatic for kids. And then what happens afterwards is that they get the clinic gets connected to their pediatrician, their other caregivers. They get follow-up care, yeah. Right.
Linda, thank you so much for joining us.
It has been my pleasure, and I appreciate your ongoing support of helping us educate people on this important issue.
Linda Hall is director of the State Office of Children's Mental Health. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.